Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Revelation 2 and 10. Speaking to the church at Smyrna, Jesus says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Well, once again, let me add my welcome to you as well. Appreciative of you being here in our auditorium. Do have a good number assembled with us today. And those visitors as well, as Brother Troy said, want to welcome you and invite you back any chance you may have. Those by way of radio as well, appreciate you being here. And if you can be with us in person, any chance, we would love for that opportunity to take place as well. Joe and Tom were the best of friends since childhood, and their favorite thing was the start of baseball season every April. And so they made a pact that they were going to always follow baseball the entirety of their lives, and whenever one would pass away first, if he could, once he got to heaven, he would call the other one and just give him a report on what heaven's like. So Joe passed away first after many years, and he gets to heaven and he calls Tom. He said, "Tom, I got good news up here and I got bad news. What do you want to hear?" And Joe said, "I want to hear the good news." He said, "Well, I tell you what, the stadium is perfect. I mean, these are the most comfortable bleacher seats we've ever sat in our lives. There's not a blade of grass that's out of place. There is not a bad spot. The sun's never in your eyes. The best concessions we've ever seen. The nicest restrooms. You park right outside the gate and you walk in. It is a beautiful stadium up here." And his friend said, that's good. What's the bad news?" He says, "Oh, you're pitching tomorrow." Sports joke. Troy liked it. Okay, I'm... This morning I want us to culminate, if you will, something we've been looking at since around the time of our gospel meeting. And we have just been working through in sermons, as time permits, what it means to be a Christian, the steps of salvation. And we began back in March talking about the hardest and the most difficult command, that is repentance. That's where I have to admit that I have done something wrong. It's a whole lot easier to point out somebody else's faults, but God requires us to admit we have done wrong and to turn from that wickedness. So that makes repentance the hardest command. We talked about true confessions, that making that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, before a group such as this. Last week we talked about those that gladly received the word from Acts chapter 2 at the end of Peter's sermon. They were baptized. They gladly received. They were obedient. About 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. So today then, at least in my mind, it's only natural to follow it up with, "Be thou faithful unto death." Now there's a statement by Lawrence J. Peter. He says, "If you don't know where you're going, you will probably end up somewhere else." That's pretty true, right? If I'm going to go to Chattanooga, it really helps if I start heading towards Chattanooga. If I take Highway 8, if I take Interstate 24, but if I decide to go to Kentucky and I don't know where I'm going, or Alabama 1, and I just start driving, my likelihood is high I will not reach my destination. Or at least I won't reach it anytime soon. Dear friends, it is important for you and I to know, as Christians, we must set our goal on heaven. And then we must be faithful to the very end, knowing that's when we reach our eternal goal. This earth is not our eternal dwelling place, and thanks be to God, I don't want to be here forever. I like being here, but I don't want to be here forever. As we talk about salvation, as a reminder, if you will, there's a past, present, and future. Pardon me, allergies are fun. Past. What is the past? Christians were saved by obeying the gospel. Paul tells Titus in chapter 3 and verse number 5 of the letter to Titus, it's not by the works of righteousness, but it's by the washing of regeneration. So past, Christians were saved by obeying the gospel. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. You go down, come back up out of that watery grave, your sins are washed away. The present, dear friends, is we must remain saved by being faithful. Although the world, the religious world, doesn't want me to tell you this, it is entirely possible for one to fall away out of God's good graces. The false doctrine of once saved, always saved is not found in Scripture. In fact, Paul in the Galatian letter says, from where you've fallen. To the letter of the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 2, remember from whence you were fallen. Dear friends, it is possible for us to become a Christian and then to quit living the Christian life and fall away. So in Philippians 2 and verse 12, he says, work out your own salvation. Work is active. I must continue to work to be a Christian, to every day abide by thus saith the Lord. And if I'm not, I need to repent of those sins and return to Him. But there's a future aspect. Dear friends, we have the hope of salvation from the eternal destruction of hell. See, hell's a real place, and it's a place I don't want to go. And I hope you don't want to go there as well. We see in Romans chapter 13, in verse number 11, Paul says that our salvation is now nearer than when we believed. And it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a month, or if you've been a Christian for 70 years, every single day, your salvation's one day nearer when you first believe. Because every day we live on this earth, we're one day closer to our eternal reward. Today, you're one day closer than yesterday. If the Lord permits, tomorrow, we'll be one day closer then. So Christians, we have that glorious hope that should never let us get sidetracked. That when the world is not being fair, which is most of the time, that hope allows us to persevere and to continue onward. You know, Paul says in the Ephesian letter, we're saved by grace through faith. But what does it mean to be faithful? Look at that reference there in Matthew chapter 25 before we get into our lesson, if you will. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus paints the picture of what will it be like on the day of judgment, if you will. And he begins the story talking about the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Those that were wise prepared for the Lord's return, which is illustrated in the story by the bridegroom coming for the wedding. Then they received the joys of their Lord. Now we're in the story of the talents, where a master had 3 servants, and he gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1 talent, and the 5-talent man doubled his, brought back 10. The 2-talent man doubled his, brought back 4. Although the number was different, statistically they both doubled their money, so to speak. But the 1-talent man was afraid, and he hid it in the earth. And I want you to notice here, when he's talking to the 5-talent man, Jesus recounts in Matthew 25:21, his Lord, his Master, said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee a ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What does it mean to be faithful? To be obedient. And it means to be a good steward of what we've been given for the time that we've been given it. Because that's what he's praised for, right? He was given 5 talents. He was faithful, turned in 10. What does it mean to be faithful? To be pleasing unto God. And I've got 3 areas that will help us be faithful until death, dear friends. And maybe one day this will be said of you and I. Well done, good and faithful servant. 3 things for us today. Number one, to be faithful unto death, one must continue steadfastly. One must continue on the path that they're on right now. Baptism is not the end of obedience. It is the start. Now, too many people have that part wrong. Too many people in the world think baptism is the end all. Once you're baptized, that's all I have to do. No, dear friends, that is the start. There is much more to being a Christian than just getting wet. Yes, you go all the way down, come all the way up, you're soaking wet, but that's not where your Christian life ends. That's where it starts. And don't let this Christian life be a sprint. It is a marathon. We must persevere to the end, not one short burst of energy. See, we are immersed into Christ, Galatians 3:27. Now we need to be immersed in His work. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. As Paul mentions there in Galatians, you have put on Christ by baptism. You are immersed. That's what baptized means. Immerse. Go fully under the water. We've discussed that in the previous lesson. So now you need to be immersed, 100% involved in His work. Notice, and I personally take great comfort from this verse. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye unmovable, or be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Dear friends, working for the Lord, we often don't see the fruit of our labor. You go out and plant a crop, you give it a couple of months, stuff's going to pop up. You go out and make an investment, you do a 5-year investment, say at the end of 5 years, you have your return on your investment. That's not the way the Christian life is. We are sowing seed for our reaping there. So Paul says, you are immersed in the work, now keep going. Don't stop. See, we've been immersed into Christ, now we are immersed in His work. You know, in essence, we've been handed a new life. Thrilling new worlds unfold before us. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, he says we are a new creature. Behold, all things are new. See, we as Christians, we live a different life. We shouldn't live that same life that we live when we went in that water. They used to live at the same house, have the same phone number, same shoe size. I understand that. But you don't live that sinful life you live. You are a new creature. In fact, Jesus says, and I love this phrase in John 10 and 10, have life abundantly. See, before you're just kind of drudging through life, but as a Christian, we have an abundant life here. There is no better life to live than that of a Christian. So you have an abundant life here that fails in comparison to that wonderful life over there. But you have to be a Christian first. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says the Lord added those daily as we're being saved. So after we've been added to the kingdom, then we get to join the great work of that kingdom. You ever thought about that? You and I, as Christians, we have a job to do. Mark 16, 15 and 16 is the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He does not believe will be damned or condemned. So that's a job. It's a commission. We have been enlisted in His service. We are to go out as you are going, preach the gospel. He doesn't just limit that to the apostles. All of us, as you are going, preach the gospel. I would dare say that there's somebody that you are in close contact with on a weekly basis that you care for dearly that's not a Christian. Maybe it's a family member. It may be a spouse. It may be a neighbor. It may be a coworker, somebody that you sit at breakfast with every morning. I don't know what the case may be, but there's bound to be somebody in your life that you care dearly about that's not a Christian. See, that's who you go and preach to. That's who you go and encourage to live a faithful life. And we send people all over the world, as Brother Dwayne prayed for eloquently in that prayer, and we need to do that, but there are lost souls here. We go into all the world. So we've been added to His kingdom. Now we try to add more people. And also, we've been forgiven. Acts 2:48, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Since we've been forgiven, now we help others learn forgiveness. Go to that passage in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. I want you to notice this here. Ephesians 1 and 7. It is my job and your job, dear friend, to help others learn about forgiveness. He's talking about Jesus Christ, and he's been talking about that. Beginning verse 1, verse 3, verse 5. In whom, referring back to Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His, Jesus, grace. Notice, it's not we hope to have, we might, we have. That is ownership. Through Jesus, as Christians, we have our sins forgiven. Now, why wouldn't I want to share that with people who are not Christians? There's no place else in the world that offers forgiveness of sins. No other name whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. So why not tell them about Jesus? So you and I have a job to do. Baptism is not the end. It is the start. And I want you to know this. We're just going to mention these. But notice here, the apostles' doctrine. What the apostles told people, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread of prayer, singing. Jesus told His apostles to go and preach, and they laid the groundwork for everything else that we do in the New Testament. Those followers of Christ were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They gave us what to do. In fact, I've got a 2-volume set of sermons in my library, and these were written in the 1800s, called The Apostles' Doctrine, and it's all about how to live a life as a Christian. See, we are to abide in Christ. 1 John 2:24 says to continue in Him. He doesn't say be in Him and get out. It's a continual action. We abide in God's Word. Do you ever realize what John 8:32 says? You shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. In order to know what the truth is, I must abide in the Word. And His Word is truth, John 17:17. But I love the way James puts it. He says, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Perfect, without blemish, complete, whole. It is the law of liberty, freedom through Christ. We talk about we must abide in the faith. He talks about in Acts 14 and 22 that even though through tribulation, through difficulties in life, they could enter into the kingdom. Talk about that faith that is grounded and settled in Colossians 1 and 23. We must abide in the faith. It's by the grace of God you and I can abide in the faith and abide in God's grace, continuing therein. We love the love of God, do we not? Hebrews 13:1, continue. Let brotherly love continue. And that's one of the things I love about the Lord's church, especially in our neck of the woods. We love congregations all over, people we may have ever met, but they're Christian doing the same things I'm doing, so I love them. In fact, Jude 1:21 says, keep yourself in the love of God. Dear friends, we must continue in doing worship by Bible names and doing it the Bible way. Let's close out this point. We must continue in fellowship. We must continue trying to not fall into sin. You realize that is a daily thing. Notice here that second, that last passage, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. 2 Peter 2 and 20. You know, it's just funny. I wasn't even thinking about this. Brother Gary and I were talking about one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. That passage in John chapter 6 where many of Jesus' followers turned away from Him and followed Him no more. I'd make a contention maybe 2 Peter 2. 20 through 22 might also be one of the saddest passages in Scripture. For if, conditional, talking about people who have, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world, i.e. they used to live a sinful life, and they escaped it through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, talking about Christians, if they've left the worldly life and are now a Christian, and are again entangled therein, they go back to the ways of the world, and they are overcome, then the latter end with them is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. See, that's a warning, dear friends. I've got to avoid falling into sin, because now that I'm a Christian, I know what it's like to live that old sinful life. And I know what it took to get me to where I am now, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But in essence, when I go back to that life of sin, I'm asking Jesus to die again and to continue to hang there in agony. Because His sin, His blood will cover my sins, yes. But when I willingly go back, see, before I was ignorantly doing it, that's one thing. But now when I willingly go back, I just open up those wounds all over again. See, I must avoid falling into sin, but I must also bear fruit. Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. He talks about John 15, the first 7 verses, that He is the vine. We are the branches. We must abide in Him and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. That passage in Galatians 5. But we also must continue to grow in the grace and knowledge. So how can I continue steadfastly? By practicing religion every day. I need to use God's Word on a daily basis by studying. That's what the Bereans did. Acts 17:11. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that hears, reads, and keeps the word of this prophecy. There's 1,189 chapters in Scripture. 1,189. 260 of those are in the New Testament. People say, I can't read the Bible. You realize if you read 4 chapters a day, you will have read the Bible before the year is up. It's really like 3.6 chapters a day. But if you read 4 chapters a day, you'll read the whole Bible in a year. Now, that's not hard to do. See, I've got to be in God's Word every day. I've got to talk to Him every day in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And then I must say something for God every day to preach the Word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. That's how I continue steadfastly. And if I continue steadfastly, I'll remain faithful until death. Let's move on. Number two, to remain faithful unto death, I must be dependable. I must be dependable. You know, God depends upon me to be in the worship services. John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must, imperative, worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him, Jesus goes on to say. God wants you and God wants me to be in worship. Try not to miss. It should be miss, not must. Oh well. Troy, you're not the only one that's having issues saying things today. Do not miss a single service. Now, I understand. Car breaks down. You can't get there. You are sick and can't leave the throne. I get that. Probably shouldn't come to worship. But you just sit there and got a headache. Allergies are bothering you. I think we can come for some things, dear friends. I really do. We must not miss a single service. In fact, it's a sin when we willingly miss. I love that passage yet. It's a condemning passage. James 4:17 scares me to death every time I study it. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. If I know the right thing to do and I don't do it, I have just sinned against God. That's why it's imperative to know what to do and to do it. See, God depends on me to be in worship. He depends on me to be a part of the worship service. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Ephesians 6 and verse 7. When I come to worship, I'm not to just be pleasing unto me. I'm not just supposed to be pleasing to the people that I sit by. I come to please God, notice, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I hope you came here with no other intention than worshiping God this morning, because that's what God demands of you and I. They tell the story of Pompeii. You remember the city of Pompeii? Had that massive volcano eruption. Obliterated all the city about 79 A.D. They tell the story those were buried alive during that volcano. But there was a Roman sentinel who was standing his post with his spear in his hand. And he was buried alive at his post of service. He knew the lava was coming. Yet his job was to be standing guard, with spear in hand ready to go. And 2,000 years later, I'm still talking about him. Dear friends, when the end comes, will you be at your post of service? Doesn't matter what the world's doing around you, God's called you to be in worship. God's called you to be dependable. You know, God is requiring you and I to get His message out, the Great Commission. Jesus said, make disciples, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. See, He requires us to get His message out. And as hard as it is for me to fathom in the year 2023, with all our technological advances, there are people in the world who still haven't heard about the gospel. But what bothers me even more is there are people in Warren County who still have not heard about the gospel. We must go preach, and God requires you and I to get that message out. And we must do our job. You know, it says in Romans 12, 4 through 8, some are preachers, some are teachers, some are this, some are that. So do your job. God didn't make us all preachers. God didn't make us all song leaders. God didn't make us all elders. Didn't make us all deacons. We all have different roles to fill in the church. So serve your role. Be like that soldier at Pompeii. But finally, to be faithful until death, you must be dependable, but you also must overcome failure. We must overcome failure because, surprise, surprise, we're all going to make mistakes. I had one 3 slides ago. I mistyped the word miss. I still can't believe I did that. But I must overcome that. And I must move on and fix that the next time. Dear friends, the Christian is not one who's never made a mistake. In fact, I only know of one person that never made a mistake. In fact, he was so perfect, the world couldn't handle his perfectness, and they killed him on a tree for you and for me. His name was Jesus. The rest of us are sinful creatures. The Christian is not one who's never made a mistake. The Christian is one who fails and falls, but he gets up again. He doesn't let that knock him down. He doesn't say, "Woe is me, I'm going to throw in my hat, sit here in the corner and sob." I want you to think about Peter. You know, Peter attempted to walk on the water, Matthew 14. Took his eyes off of Jesus. He began to sink. Jesus rebuked Peter. "Lord, we're not going to let anybody kill you." And he was rebuked. Jesus says, "You're going to be afraid of me, ashamed of me." And he says, "Lord, I would rather die than deny you." And he denies him three times before the rooster crows. And then over in the book of Galatians, Peter played the hypocrite. He'd eat with Gentiles till he knew the Jews were coming down. And Paul had to withstand him to the face and say, "That's not how you're supposed to be living." But look at Peter. Did Peter make mistakes? Oh, yes, he did. I'd say no more than Justin Reed has made, though. See, we've got to pick ourselves back up after we fall. Peter was no failure. He kept on trying. Dear Christian friend, hear me out. You have made a good bargain. You know what Solomon says, Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." As a Christian, you have bought the truth, God's Word. Now don't go out and sell it back to the world. You do, you've missed the boat. Dear Christian friend, you've planted an important crop. In fact, look there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, Luke's account. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this, but here's Luke's account of the sower. "Behold, a sower went out to sow. Sows on three different grounds: stony, thorny, by the wayside, and good ground." And notice what happens with the good ground. Jesus says, "The good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and they bring forth fruit," watch it, "with patience." That's what my copy of Scripture says, hopefully yours as well. Doesn't say they bring forth fruit with no effort, but with patience. We have heard God's word and we are bringing forth fruit. You have planted an important crop, dear Christian friend. Don't forsake it. You know, you got to plant it and then reap it. If you just throw seed in the ground and then come fall time, you don't go out there and pick the ears of corn off the stalks, it's going to do you no good. The animals will like you. They'll go out and eat your crop, but it'll do you no good. Dear Christian friend, you're in line for blessings. Flip over to Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 28. Notice here, Jesus says, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." For many people hear the word of God. He says, "You're blessed if you keep it." Dear Christian friend, you are in line for blessings. So don't get out of line. Don't step away. And finally, you as a Christian have started a journey to a wonderful place called heaven. Don't stop. Acts 20:24, Paul says, "You know, I'm ready to finish my course. I'm not going to let anything deter me." And Paul was going to places where he was stoned and people wanted to kill him. And he wasn't going to let anything stop him. So to be a Christian and to be faithful unto death, we must overcome failure because it's going to happen. What do we learn? Dear friends, that faithfulness matters. Faithfulness matters. There's a man, Grantland Rice. Boy, that's a name. Actually born in Murfreesboro. A very famous, involved in the world of baseball, says, it's the past now, so sad, "For when the one great scorer comes to mark against your name, he writes not that you win or lost, but how you played the game." He wants to see your faithfulness throughout each step of the way. Dear friends, the world's going to measure us by our failures. Or the world measures us by our successes. God's going to measure us by our faithfulness. Because I fail each and every day in His sight. Are you going to be faithful to the very end? Now, I've counted, and if I counted right, we've quoted, read, or mentioned at least 50 different passages of Scripture, which is probably more than some preachers ever use. Anyways, 50 passages of Scripture. Don't you think it's imperative God wants you and I to be faithful? So will you be? Our invitation song is entitled, Oh, Prepare to Meet Thy God. I didn't ask Gary to do that, but that is a wonderful one. Being faithful unto the very end means you are prepared to meet your God. But if you're not prepared, now's the time to do it. For today is the day of salvation. For tomorrow may be too late. You hear, believe, repent, confess, you're baptized. And we'd love to see that happen this very morning if you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian, this lesson is for you. You hang in there. Be faithful to the very end. That's when you receive that crown of life, knowing you are prepared to meet your Maker. Can we help you in any way, spiritually speaking? If you need to be a Christian or be restored, we ask you please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.